Welcome into another Locked On Bills. I'm your host today, Kevin Misery, here with Jason Shannon on this action-packed edition. Today we're going to be bringing up, yesterday we did have a supplemental draft, and the Bills did not select anybody, nor have they signed any of the players available in free agency. So I want to talk about that for a moment with Jason. Also going to get into a little bit of LeSean McCoy, kind of what that means for the team more at this point. We're going to talk about the football side of this today. Kind of bring up running back, see where they're at, and talk about maybe a little bit of cap stuff. As always, you know, we're going to bring you that cap and heavy hitting news. Jason, how you doing today?
I am doing great, Kevin. How are you?
Loving it, man. It's a beautiful day in Western New York.
We've had a good string of them. Been about a week. I'm expecting something bad to happen now. I don't know if we deserve this.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had the hottest June ever, and like the first couple of days of July, I think we're the hottest ever. So
I think 4th of July this year was the hottest they had recorded in Buffalo, at least. So
wow, well, that's good. Everyone complains about the winter, so we're literally in the heat of it right now. So training camp does open in 2 weeks, though, Jason.
I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty sick of the supplemental draft being the biggest story of the week. I know nothing against the supplemental draft where nobody gets drafted like every 2 out of 3 years, but I want to see some training camp. I want to see some real football. We're less than a month away from preseason starting, I think.
Definitely, yep.
I think that's official. So, yeah, football.
Definitely football. And getting into that, you mentioned it a little bit, but getting into that supplemental, were you shocked at how that went on? We had a third and a sixth round selection, about what people were expecting. Maybe they're expecting another choice there in the sixth or the seventh, but it didn't happen. I guess talk to me about, you know, Beal and what you thought of, you know, how that went down, and did the Bills make the right decision based on these values? And we don't know that they didn't bid, by the way. That's not out.
Doesn't though. Come out. Does it ever come out?
I think eventually someone will leak it. Like Beal had a 7 fourth round bids or whatever.
Yeah, so one, I think that the supplemental draft really isn't the Bills' style. A, you have people usually coming into that draft due to not being good at school or getting in trouble with the law or having problems with substances. And so that's not usually guys that the Bills look at. And also, it involves you giving up a pick next year, which is something Brandon Bean says he's reticent to do, even though he proved in this draft that he's willing to wheel and deal. But I don't think he wants to give away a draft pick a year away. That said, I think if Sam Beal was a better fit for this team, we could have made a move for him in the third, who the Giants took him, right? So even if we had a third round valuation on him and put in for him, we wouldn't have got him because they go by the NFL draft order. So we would have needed a second to get him. He's mostly a man corner from what I've read and what I've seen. Bigger guys, definitely a good talent. People think that he was pretty firmly a second-round pick if he went into the actual draft this year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a little bit of uncertainty with him. I don't think his character stuff was that bad.
He's one of the cleaner prospects.
He admitted that he failed a couple classes, and the NCAA wasn't going to let him know until training camp started whether he was actually going to be allowed to play for Western Michigan this year. And he said, well, I'll just make it certain.
The MAC is a strict academic conference, so that is definitely a note.
Yeah, and he said he was ready, and he had been evaluated pretty highly, and I don't blame him, honestly. I wouldn't, you know, fool around with the NCAA and have to sit out a season and really kill your value as a player. So about him, I think it was just fit for us. I'm not saying that we definitely would have taken him with a second if he was a zone cornerback or a little more for what this team.
You don't know that they didn't bid a third. I mean, they could have gotten outbid, obviously, like you mentioned, by the Giants with the
high. Yeah, they had the second pick, right? So
yep. So you don't know who bid on him in the third round. You obviously know first or seconds on any of the players.
Yeah. All you know about the third is that the Browns didn't bet on him. So
That's it.
So yeah, we definitely could have, but especially in the secondary and with McDermott being a secondary guy, he's very specific about his scheme. And if a guy doesn't fit, he'll take a less talented player than the more talented player. And going with character problems, he'll, you know, take a less talented player too. As far as Adonis Alexander goes,
He was one of my favorite fits. Had more off the field issues though than Beal.
He had more off the field issues more akin to like Holton Hill, who I don't think got drafted this year, even though being really talented. I think it actually might have helped him. I honestly think he was probably like a seventh round pick if he entered the draft this year. With just, I mean, first off, he has the off the field problems. Second, his tape wasn't very good this year. And third, I mean, people were very unimpressed with his pro day. He ran in the 4.6s. Scouts, you know, I heard a couple people say that scouts said that he just didn't look like he'd been training for his pro day at all. Really, his one asset, I mean, is really his height and his length, and people think that they can turn that into a good zone cornerback. I wouldn't have had any problem with him in the seventh. I think the sixth is probably too high, and I honestly think maybe even higher than he would have gone in the regular draft. But with his sort of physical characteristics, I thought somebody was going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, we should know with even Edmonds and Teller, a couple of Virginia Tech, you know, we're drafted a couple of Virginia Tech guys that should know him really well. So it was interesting to see if they were in on that at all, if they wanted maybe they had a seventh round, you don't really didn't want him at all. You don't really know. And I hope we find out some bidding. I am interested to see if they did place a bid. Like, I think Beal, it was weird because they like do a drawing of lots. So if you have under 5 wins, they draw for the value of your pick. And I think Oakland actually had the first overall pick of the supplemental draft. So
is that true? Because I had seen somebody like reputable write that it was just the draft order. But yeah, I could totally also see somebody being wrong about it because it is sort of a secretive process.
It's like secretive,
done through email bidding. Like it's very arcane in a way. Like,
yeah, I think it is real. Because I think there is like a drawing of lots. I think that's real. The one thing that people, even like no one still knows, is if you bid one time, like everyone just puts a value and they just send their bids in. Or if it's round one, any bids. Round two, any bids. Round three.
Yeah, I've heard that you have to just put your bid in right from the start on what round you want. But I don't think anybody knows, honestly. I'm sure a couple people do, but it's a weird process, and even though it's like not an exciting thing and not a thing that you can televise, it still seems like we could make the process a little more interesting, especially in a year like this year, a year that where you have Josh Gordon, or you know, the success rate of players in the supplemental draft is actually like reasonably high considering most of them are coming in with character concerns. There's a good handful of Pro Bowlers and useful players to come out.
Well, think about
draft.
Your scouting staff can spend all of June and half of July just focusing on usually two players, three players. I mean, this year was five. I mean, as we've talked about, a couple guys didn't go drafted, a running back and a linebacker who didn't get signed. The Jets did sign the safety, right?
Yeah, Brandon Bryant. I actually thought we could maybe, out of anybody, I think really getting on the phone and trying to sign him was the most likely option for us. They definitely could have tried, but he's a really athletic guy that just really didn't produce as a safety and is kind of behind his development as far as a defensive player. But to have a guy run down on kicks or squat him or whatever, we love our special teams guys. And he was definitely a real athlete, you know, playing in the SEC. I thought he was worth a shot, maybe not giving up a draft pick for, but I'm a little surprised that nobody did and that he signed so immediately with the Jets right after it.
Yeah, definitely. And the final note on the draft is you're wasting a pick out of thin air. Like, I don't think that sits well with Bean, meaning if you use a third, your third next year obviously goes, it disappears. It doesn't go to another team or whatever. So like you're just losing value on, you know, kind of a shot in the dark. I don't think that's the way without evaluating next year's draft to see how the third would have lined up. I don't think that they would have ever of, I thought like a sixth or seventh isn't far-fetched at all, especially in a year with 2 fourths, 2 sevenths, but
right.
I don't think you're going to just hedge, like really obviously we're talking about Beal here and especially on a man, potential man corner. I think it's, even if you wanted to spend that third, I think it's tough to say what that third would have related to next year without, you know, seeing the full class, but lots of talk here on the supplemental draft. We're going to bring up part two of the show here with, obviously, you know, a little bit about McCoy on the football end, on the contract end, and a little bit of running back free agents and possibilities there. Right after Jason gives us a special read.
Yeah, so this is supposed to be a sponsor, but I'm actually going to let you guys, I'd rather call it a secret. I'm going to let you guys on a little secret. guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. Kevin, I'm just going to do a little personal anecdote here, just to relate it. You know I play kickball on Tuesdays, right?
I do.
You've played with me before. In fact, you used to be on the team before you moved away. I played on Tuesday night, and my legs are still on fire. It's Thursday night right now. It's a sport where you can drink in both hands and still play the sport. 20-year-old me, do you think 20-year-old me, Kevin, would be complaining about a kickball game that's 2 days old right now?
I don't think so. I don't think you would.
Your hamstrings aren't the only thing that goes when you get older. It's also the sexual performance. It happens too. And it's not just your legs. It's not just your chest. It's not just harder to work out. You know, everything starts to just fade a little bit as you get older. And that's why I want to bring up Blue Chew to you guys.
Yeah, Blue Chew. Check it out.
You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises.
And what's that promo code again?
The promo code. I'm getting to that, Kevin. Locked on. One word, locked on. And when you use the code locked on, you visit BlueChew.com and you get your first shipment free. Free. When you use our special promo code locked on, just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUE, like the color, chew.com, promo code locked on to try it for free.
Awesome. I mean, getting back into it, Jason, I did want to talk to you. Got to talk about running back, right? I mean, we have to address running back here. I think it's an opportunity to talk about running back from a football perspective here today. We will probably cover McCoy a little bit more in detail, as obviously you can follow me and kind of I've been tweeting out tidbits and notes and thoughts. I don't think Jason has anything on record about it yet, but I mean, follow along for that, for more of the personal stuff. And we'll probably address it, Jason, right? Maybe in a week or two.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I'd like to know more, yeah. Really. I have my opinions on what I think will happen, less on like what actually did happen. And right. I kind of want to stay away from that until we just have more information. But
okay.
I do think that it brings up the possibility that we may have to look for a running back, whether that's a starting running back, whether that's a full season guy, whether you're talking about a suspension or just being off the team at this point. I do think that it's a useful conversation at this point to talk about running back for the Bills.
Yeah, I think so. Let's start at the top here with this thing. For some reason, whether the team, whether he's innocent, guilty, whatever, of whatever they're going to say he did. And let's just say the team moves on from him, right? Let's just say that for purposes of our discussion. He is still owed $18 million on the nose and cap. So essentially $9 million this year, $9 million next year. Some of it signing bonus in both of those years. So he does have 2.6 in signing and a $250,000 workout bonus and a dead cap hit this year of 5.2, meaning that you would save a good 3.6 this year on him. So next year you'd save a ton of money. He'd be fully off the cap and for $9 million off the cap to add to that $70 million that they already have and potential rollover money, even more rollover money if you cut him this year. And you don't sign anybody, that's more rollover money. You're looking in the range of like 80 or 90 million next year. There are cap ramifications here. If he's not the best player he can be and the best highest character that they expect him to be, Jason, does any of that jump out to you, like just on a cap perspective?
Yeah, I don't know how the contracts work. I mean, is there any cap ramifications as far as him taking like a suspension or, you know, is it just less money out of their pocket where they don't?
He just loses those game checks and thus it comes off the cap.
Unless he has
a Darius clause, which no one really knows until you get told that it isn't. Like the Bill, Doug Whaley somehow did not have a stipulation in there about being suspended, which is ridiculous. Anyways, most contracts in most cases, almost all a player will say, I'm not going to get suspended. So I don't care if you do that, put that in there. So let's assuming that, yeah, you can save a little bit of a game check, but you know, 2.6 obviously is a signing bonus, and 250,000 is a workout regardless of if he plays or doesn't play or how many games he's suspended. So call it 3 million of the 9 is already chewed up. But you can save the 6 million base this year, or next year you can save divided by 16. I don't think the bye week is not a game check. So it's divided by 16. And you know, that's what, you know, he gets paid per week check.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that would matter as much. And I think that the amount of space that they have and are still trying to gain could, make it easier to cut him if that's how the way they want to move on. Again, like, not all the facts are out, but I do think that if things start to look very bad, they might want to get out from it, and they might be worried about losing fan support. You know, fans go on sort of mini protests for lots of different stuff that they, you know, if a player does something wrong. I'm sure if Ray Rice never got suspended, Baltimore fans would, you know, there would be some unhappy ones and say that they're going to lose money or stop going to games or whatever. So you never know how bad this is going to look, or maybe it's nothing. But right, if they have to make that decision, I do think that the room allows them the ability to do that. And some teams just sort of cut bait and just say, we're going to start moving on today. And he's an older running back and makes a lot of money. And this might speed up that process a little bit.
Right. He did just turn 30, obviously. Interesting case. I mean, we're interested to see. I mean, there's still a lot of fan defense over this guy, without facts, without a lot of facts. So we'll see how this thing plays out on the fan end of it. And I don't know what the team's going to do with that knowledge. If they know the fans have turned on him, does that factor in? If they know the team's the fan base is really supportive, the evidence doesn't look fishy or whatever, does that play a factor? Do you think that plays a factor at all? If like the fans are like extremely one way about it, like whatever way that is,
maybe a little, and it probably shouldn't. But at the same point, like, you do have, if they're really, really against it, I think you have to keep that in mind. I do. If they're really supportive of it, I don't. A lot would have to come out that exonerates them at this point for a fan base to be really supportive of what happened, where they're just overwhelmingly in rioting because they cut LeSean McCoy. I don't think that happens from this point. I think the best we're going to get is about neutral, and they just kind of let him back on the team.
And still, but probably the most likely, right? Isn't that probably the most at this stage? I don't know. I guess I don't have odds or anything, but
I think we are more likely to cut him than he is to be suspended.
Okay,
that's the way I'm even thinking like about it right games, now.
Like a low.
It's just, I mean, he's either going to get hit with it or not. You really can't suspend it. I mean, you can because you're Roger Goodell, but hard to suspend a guy in an investigation. It's either going to start going one way or he's going to be let off the hook.
Okay.
So
now on a football end, Jason, I want to talk to you about a couple of options here, but you know, to wrap up the show, I thank everyone for tuning in. You know, Locked On Bills, your local daily experts, are going to bring you the heavy hitting news, these hard to talk about topics you're not going to get elsewhere. You know, so we're talking a little bit about everything here today, but a couple of names I wanted to bring up with you real quick, to kind of supplement the football side of this. DeMarco Murray has a little bit left in the tank. Didn't have a great year last year, but you know, he catches balls. He knows the position. He's had great years in the past. What's your thoughts on DeMarco Murray right off the top?
Yeah, I mean, he's the most likely guy that you're going to have that would fill a starting running back role. Probably not a top 20 guy at this point. He'd be on a team at this point if he was, but mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at it, he's 2016 was still pretty good for him. I mean, 1,287 in rush yards, 4.4 yards a carry, 9 touchdowns, 53 catches, and another 3 receiving touchdowns. That's a really good year for a guy that was considered kind of a disappointment because 2 years before that, he had run for almost 1,900 yards. Down year last year, they definitely tried to get Derrick Henry a little more involved in Tennessee. And he would probably still be on Tennessee or be on another team right now, if he wouldn't have been cut if he didn't get signed to a monster deal.
He always finds the end zone a fair amount, which I've always liked about him, regardless of his YPC.
He's got a ton of touchdowns for the last 5 years. I mean, not a ton, but 28, 37, 43 in the last 5 years is a pretty good clip. And then I didn't even count receiving another six there. So, I mean, you know, we're talking about 10 touchdown a year guy, even in, you know, two down years in that stretch. He's 30 now.
Exact age as LeSean. I mean, I think he could be a good 1 year bridge comp, competent player. Kind of see how he does to see if you bring him back in another 1 year to, you know, kind of bridge you to the draft. I mean, that's kind of, and or free agency. That's kind of how I look at a player.
The best you can get right now. Yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have said at the start of offseason, let's go sign DeMarco Murray. But right now you need a guy who can just get carries. And I think he's much better than Chris Ivory at this point. And he's been healthy too, which is useful for a running back for sure.
Agree with that. The health thing, definitely something this regime puts precedent on. So right there, I think you can say he's immediately an interesting candidate if anything was to happen, or if not, maybe you presumptuously sign him. Just because I think he should be on a team personally. I think he's a good 1B for somebody, and I think he would fit in anyways, but I don't think he wants to take like a 1B, 1C job. I think he wants like really 1A, a 1A job where there might be a backup on the team that's solid, but he wants to be the guy still for our final year. So does have that 6'1", 220, want to know. So he is a bigger back in my opinion. And this regime does seem to like that a little bit. So as we saw from Tolbert and, you know, Chris Ivory, like they like those bigger physical style of runners. Another name is Arlene Starkwa, guy I really like. He's always, you know, just kind of run of the mill running back, but I mean, once again, another bigger style, 6'2", 210. Obviously he's played he started with the Dolphins, but then immediately went to the Giants the same year, kind of in his rookie year, and didn't do much. But in 15, he started to be like a third running back, kind of was a third running back last year, and then got really determined to be the best guy on that offense really last year. Once Odell Beckham went down, went for 751 for a 4.4 clip, which is fairly decent. Did only catch 19 balls, which is up obviously from his years as a third running back. But I bet you he comes with some type of special teams ability, Jason. I wouldn't be shocked if he has that in him too. Obviously he wouldn't be that as a starter.
but
his first 4 or 5 years in the league.
Right. You don't stick around that long as a third running back who doesn't really get touches unless you have some special teams in you. So yeah, if he's getting the carries for, you know, the Bills, for example, he probably wouldn't be doing that. But yeah, I think he's underrated in this. I think actually I haven't seen this at all, but I think maybe he's trying to get a decent contract coming off of that. Maybe he's waiting for an injury or suspension type thing, or a team that's going to pay him a little bit of money. Cause last year he played on a 1 year, $1.1 million deal, which is, you know, pretty close to the minimum, and yep, ran for 4.4 and 5 touchdowns, which is the best running back on his team last year. I think that he would be.
He beat out all those guys last year, really. I mean, he was better than a lot of the guys that they thought would take the job, like Paul Perkins.
Paul Perkins was a highest draft pick. You know, there were other guys on the team, too. It was kind of a committee approach that he ended up just pulling out of and just becoming the straight starter. So,
yeah, and obviously leading to them to sign Jonathan Stewart and obviously take Barkley very high. But, I mean, they had Gallman last year. I mean,
right, another, yeah.
So, really cut bait with the rest of their running backs. But I guess Dark was an interesting one because you could sign him today if he was willing, saying, hey, like, we don't know what's going to happen here with our starter. Come sign here. We love that you were able to do a little bit of everything. He did play 16 special teams games in 2015 as a note, and recorded 9 tackles. So he is a special teams ability to do that, which is a good amount of tackles if you're playing teams. Like,
sure, yeah. I mean, that's a full season for a good special teams player.
So, like, hey, come here, you're going to make the team. Like, at this stage, you know, you're even going to be, you know, 1B, 1C with Ivory alone. And if – you know, McCoy, you know, something happens with him, you're right there. So I think he's more willing to take that than maybe DeMarco Murray would be.
Sure. I mean, he wants to make some money at some point and, you know, stuck around the league long enough. But, you know, another positive about him, rather than, you know, a lot of the guys that we would look at right now or 29 plus. He's a 26 year old with very few, you know, miles on him, which is interesting. He might be able to, you know, extend what his prime is or find his prime right now and play another 3 or 4 years. So I think he is interesting and probably less likely to break down than a, you know, the 29 to 33 year olds that are out there on the market right now.
And there's a couple of other names, Alfred Blue, Terrence West. I know you have a little bit. I mean, I like a little bit of Brandon Oliver. I love them in college. Showed to be a really good rookie and can do a lot. He can catch the ball. He can do a lot of stuff. I don't know where he's at this point in his career. These are, you know, Lance Dunbar. I mean, you know, Jamal Charles was said to be working out in the Saints a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, guys that still will probably be in a camp. But they're just third running backs to me all through and through, good depth guys in some manner, probably waiting for a backup running back to get hurt. Not, you know, so.
Terrence West just signed with the Saints, by the way.
Did he? So they picked West over Jamal Charles.
Yeah. He's a little younger.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. 27 year old.
He's a guy that's always seemed to make a team somehow.
Yeah. You got him. We're talking to older guys with injury histories, or most of them besides, you know, Darkwa and then Murray, who's really stayed pretty healthy. You look at Vereen, a guy who's missed a bunch of time, Jamal Charles. I like Lance Dunbar because he can catch passes, but like by no means should he be like, you know, guy getting 20 touches a game. I think he's good to throw out there for, you know, 3 touches a game and get some pass blocking in, but
Don't sleep on Tarvaris Cadet. I mean, the Bills do have the mishmash of Tarvaris Cadet and Tywan Jones.
Well, they're going to have to get good pretty quick. So
Marcus Murphy, we can't forget what's currently on the roster here.
Marcus Murphy had those like 3 good carries at the end of the season.
I think he was active in the playoff game. Keith Ford, a guy I kind of was interested in. I'm interested to see. He's our only free agent, the only young guy in the entire position group. So Marcus Murphy's even a little older. So I am excited to see Keith Ford. I did like a little bit about what he might be able to do, maybe sneak on the roster if he's any good. Definitely in a good position for him to not even be competing with anything other than special teamers and third running back. So Keith Ford's another name to watch out for. And look, let's call it what it is, cuts. New England Patriots have 6 running backs. They've done weirder things, and they might keep all 6, but there are 6 running backs that could definitely be a number 2 running back on a lot of teams.
Yeah, so. I if we get some sort of news that McCoy can't play for, you know, the first 4 games or whatever length it would be where you really need to say, hey, we need to find a starter. Like, I think Mike Gillisley will be on our team by then.
I mean, you have Rex. I mean, to go through them, they are legitimately number 2 running backs. I mean, you have Rex Burkhead, James White, Mike Gillisley. I mean, Sonny Michel is going to make their team, but Brandon Bolden and Jeremy Hill. So there are some names there that could be a lot of teams' number 2 running back.
They let Deion Lewis go and still like ended up with 6 running backs that should make like any team in the league.
That's how much they like Lewis. They're like, we have to replace him with like 5 different guys because like, I'm just not comfortable right now. I mean, but Bolden's more of a, like a all around guy who catches the ball, plays special teams. He's the one that I don't necessarily, I mean, he's great to have on your team, but just not as a literal running back.
No, they're most of them are all like situational guys. James White's really kind of the same way. Just like a better version. I mean,
they've
definitely figured out like the rostering for running backs and each of them having a different role, which somehow the league hasn't figured out how to defend, but like whatever, Tom Brady.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, they can do whatever they, with someone like Tom Brady, you can have a situational running back for each exact situation of a football game. You can have a pass catcher, a blocker, guy that plays special teams and can do a little bit of everything. You can have a pure runner. You can have a touchdown guy. You can have a fast guy. I mean, the opportunities are endless when you're willing to use roster spots up in any position group. Right. So, interesting.
Well, we could potentially have 0.
Yeah. And we could have 0. So and like a half of 1 in Chris Ivory. So watch cuts. There will be interesting, like, and the Bills are never sheepish to make a trade. Like, we don't even have the know with all to know who's available right now. I mean, I don't know what they could do, but I mean, there's always guys like Charles Sims of the league and guys that they might, you know, say, hey, that guy could be a number one. We like what he can do. So
I like Charles Sims.
Let's trade a six for him or fifth.
But it's impossible to speculate because literally it's like the whole team is at our, or a whole league is at our disposal. Like, I have no idea of speculating who they could trade for.
Like, team and running back's the easiest one that someone could just be like, yeah, I'm cutting you for no reason. Like, and every GM likes a running back that they're willing to trade a fourth round for. Like, you had Bryce Brown and you had, I just think that there's good examples of trading mid round picks for running backs.
Well, and there's got to be running backs in the league that people would be willing to get rid of to take a salary on, right? Like,
yeah,
for us too. I mean, it's not the NBA. Like, it's a little more complicated than that. But I mean, somebody's making a lot of money. Like, they might want to just ditch a contract.
Running backs I don't think that's
still get overpaid all the time.
I don't think it's far-fetched. NFL teams are usually more willing to let that guy get cut and then signing him.
Yeah.
On that minimum, usually.
But you could definitely trade, a low pick for maybe a guy whose talent's higher than that. Happens all the time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's options at that position group. So the Bills don't have to rush on it, but I would like to have someone in here on August 1st, to be honest, Jason. So I think that puts them in a little bit of a pickle with the legal stuff going on. And maybe it goes McCoy's way and it's all hearsay, right?
Yeah. I mean, I there's a whole spectrum of things that could happen at this point.
But on a football end, I mean, as a GM, you'd be doing it wrong if you weren't considering, like, okay, what do I save by cutting him? I mean, you consider that for any player. Like, you probably did at Zay Jones at one point.
Right.
What do we do at running back? I mean, you just have to have plans in place and ready to act on it quickly. Like, to the level of calling, you know, Murray's agent and saying, hey, if this is goes down, you know, this is the offer we're going to make.
Yeah, and honestly, I think we should be adding running backs anyways, like, before this happened. We still had McCoy, a 30-year-old running back who leaves the field, you know, maybe doesn't miss a ton of games, but leaves the field six times a year. You know, it's we need more talent at that position. I didn't think Ivory was a very good fill-in for that, but I still think that even lower-end guys, whether Dark was considered that or even just guys who can catch passes and block, like,
right.
I think we should be creating more competition at that position before McCoy got into any, you know, into any heat. So
I agree with that fully. Well, wow, what an action-packed show, Jason. Lots of good nuggets here. I'm excited for everyone's feedback on this one. Tune in, you know, once again, every week, 2 weeks away from training camp. We're going to bring you any breaking news. You know, we're your local daily experts. And we're really looking forward to training camp kicking off and bringing some really good storylines and some exclusives. So, from Locked On Bills, I'm Kevin Misery, and that's Jason Shannon.
Thanks, guys.